I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Some people stay far away from. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, they are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Jason Bishop. That's the foursome. Join us on the Mattress Warehouse hotline right now is our pal John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. He's brought to you by Golfdom. Golf season's in full swing, and Golfdom is fully opened. They just got over 100 push carts in last week. Go to GolfdomGolf.com for details. Golfdom, live the game. Good morning, John.
Good morning, guys. You know, you just said foursome. Do you guys ever play together as a foursome?
Rarely.
Very rare.
Two of us don't even
like
really
each
play
other that much.
We like each other fine, but I mean, I've semi-retired.
Depends on the
golf
day, John. Depends on the day.
I don't really like to play, you know, so. Really, Jason and I are the only ones that like to play. And we used to play a lot together, but I mean, he moved all the way out to Loudoun County. I'm not driving out there.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
That's a hike.
Yeah, it's too much. You don't even play anymore. We talked about this last week.
Yeah, I rarely play. It's true. In fact, it's funny because the other day my daughter Jane was taking a golf lesson at Congressional, and it was way out at what they call the little hole, which is, you know, a hole they use for chipping and putting.
Right.
I had to, you know, drive her out there in a cart. And the guy in the pro shop said to me, "Do you remember how to drive a cart?"
Right.
Because it's been a while.
Right.
No, but the reality is, as Eric said, a lot of us don't play. I played with Cakes last year, and I'm surprised he finished the round. Especially after that one hole, he tried to hit one out of the woods, and I was like, "What are you doing?"
That was stubborn. I didn't want to. I didn't want to take a pedal.
John, Cakes playing 18 holes is a nightmare for him. It really is.
As I've told you guys before, once upon a time, like before children, I was a semi-decent player, you know, high single digits, never really good, but okay, respectable. And then the kids came along, and I didn't have a month off to just play golf and things like that. And so when I would go out to play, I wasn't a single-digit handicap anymore, but in my mind, I was. And I hated it. I just couldn't stay. You know, intellectually I understood it, but as a competitive person, I couldn't deal with it, and I was acting like a jerk out there. I know people will be stunned to think that I would ever act like a jerk, but now when I play, it's low key. It's with my daughters. And I don't really care. But I've told you guys the story about the time I played with my brother, and we finished. Who only plays on days that end in Y. And we finished, you know, played nine holes. It was late afternoon. We were going to have dinner afterwards. And at the end of the nine holes, Bobby said, "Such a beautiful evening. Let's go play four or five more holes." I said, "Yeah, you're right. It is a beautiful evening. Let's have our first drink outside."
Yeah, right. Let's go to the bar.
He went and played four or five more holes. I went and drank. And I realized that drinking was my favorite part of playing golf.
John, maybe what I need is the Muirfield milkshake, or as Valdez calls it, the Muirfield milkshake. To bring me back. Is that really a thing? He's hyping it up all week long.
Oh, yeah, it is a thing. Oh, I mean, it's really, really good. And technically we're not allowed in the players' dining area, and that's the only place you can get it. But I've been taken in there in the past by players. And in fact, funny story. This is a long time ago, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting in there, drinking a Muirfield milkshake with Phil Mickelson, and it was a hot day, and Phil had the view of the picture window looking out on the walkway down below. And, you know, there was like a parade of women wearing halter tops and shorts. And every time one would go by, Phil would kind of strain to get a better look, which is understandable, right? And so, like, the fourth or fifth time, I turned around and I looked and I said, oh, yeah, she's really, really hot. And Phil says to me, this is off the record, right? And I said, yes, Phil, all leering is off the record.
Right. Do you like Phil?
Until now.
Yeah, you know what? I do like Phil. There are things about Phil I don't like, which you can say about almost anybody. Yeah. But he's always been, you know, cooperative and good with me. He's given me time. He's a great talker when he gets going. Sometimes he says stuff and you go, you got to be kidding. He can't be serious about this, but he is. But he's always, you know, you got to judge people by the way they treat you. And he's always been good with me. He's given me a lot of time. He was very honest with me about the whole Tom Watson thing when I was doing the Ryder Cup book. So I do like him. I mean, there is a phoniness about him in terms of his public persona versus who he really is. His nickname in the locker room for years was Eddie Haskell. But understandably, but I do like him. Yes.
He's got four kids, right? Is it four?
Three.
Three. Are any of the kids good golfers? Good, you know,
not
young
that
golfers?
I know of. Not that I know of. His
kind of surprised by that.
His oldest daughter is at Brown. I know that. And I think his second one is now either a senior or a freshman somewhere. But I have not heard anything about any of them being either good at golf or even into golf as players.
Right.
Hey, I just was looking at your Twitter and I saw just a few days ago, maybe it was a week ago, you mentioned Thon Maker's cousin going to Howard. What do you make of that?
Well, yeah. I think it's potentially a very cool thing, and I hope it's the start of a trend.
And he's a five star
because
for
with everything that's gone on since George Floyd's murder and the Black Lives Matter movement, there are now basketball players and football players talking about maybe they should consider HBCUs rather than just the big name. D1 schools, and HBCUs have really struggled. I think people know that. There are two Division I basketball conferences, and their champions always get sent to Dayton. I mean, you know, they're always 16th seeds. They always get sent to Dayton. You know, Howard here in D.C., which is such a great school academically, has a terrible record athletically in football and basketball. They did have a decent football season a couple of years ago. But Kenny Blakeney's done a really good job of selling Howard. He's got, I think, nine new players coming in this year. Mm-hmm. Maker is a guy who has a good chance to play in the NBA. In fact, right now, his name is in the NBA draft because he graduated in 2019 and prepped for a year.
Wow.
So he's eligible. He put his name in. He's probably going to take it out because he's not going to be a first-round draft pick. And even if he just plays at Howard for a year, and sends, you know, sets an example for other kids that you can go to an HBCU, you can still be a first round NBA draft pick coming out of an HBCU. I think it would be a great thing to see.
You know who almost did that? It was our senior year, Gerard Mustaf. He put Howard in his final three.
Yep.
Remember
he
that?
He did, and I remember talking to his father about that.
Yeah, sure.
And his father was, and his father wanted him to play for a black coach.
Yeah.
And he did end up going to play, as you know, for Bob Wade at Maryland.
Yeah.
And so, yes, he did. He did consider that. Quick, funny story about that, though. I'm going to say it was the summer of 1990, mm-hmm. Or maybe 1989. But Grant Hill, Chris Webber, Juwan Howard, I think Jalen Rose, but a bunch of those guys were planning to go. They were all friends. They played AAU ball together, and they were planning to go. Just drive together through the South and make unofficial visits to, like, Virginia and Duke and Wake and Carolina and down into, you know, I think, to Atlanta, to Georgia Tech. And they met in Washington. And Calvin Hill, Grant's father, the former Hall of Fame running back, took them all to lunch in Georgetown at Clyde's. And so he said, so what's the schedule to the kids? And Chris Webber said, well, since we're here in D.C., we thought we'd start out by seeing the two historically black colleges. And Callan said, historically black colleges? And he said, yeah, Georgetown and Howard.
Right.
Those were in the days when, of course, John's teams were all African-American. And look, I asked John about that once years ago, and he said, I'm a black coach. Most of the best players are black. Why wouldn't I recruit black players?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he also had a few white guys, though, which was always
later,
kind of interesting. Early on,
he did, and some of them were pretty good. And then toward the end, he did, yes. Yeah. It was in that middle period when the team was all black for several years. And
a lot of guys
by the way, also very good.
Remember, he dug into New Orleans for some reason.
He had that pipeline for a while. Yeah,
I don't know why.
Yeah, wild. Different coaches, you know, they have contacts in different places. I mean, Frank McGuire was famous years ago for recruiting New York. And when Krzyzewski started his program, he came into Washington and, you know, took that Danny Ferry, Johnny Dawkins, Tommy Amaker, Grant Hill, pretty good players, made Lefty crazy.
What do you make of the latest the Zion stuff? I mean, Drabby, I didn't even bother to look into it. Drabby
I make
said,
nothing of it. It's the honest answer. I said this. I think I said this to you guys a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
But look, I don't know what happened between Zion and this agency, but they broke up very quickly. Something happened. He left before they made any real money off of him, and clearly they're trying to find a way A to hurt the kid because it's personal, and B to get some of the money back that they never got. By making these claims. And, you know, the thing is, in a lawsuit, you can claim anything,
you know,
but then you have to prove it.
Right.
And, you know, when they show some proof of any of it, then I'll, you know, my antenna will go up. Until then, it's just, what I think is going on, and this happens all the time, is they're filing a lawsuit, they're making all these claims, they're demanding millions of dollars, and they're hoping that to get it off the boards, because Zion has a lot of money, obviously, that's why people sue rich people, they say, okay, we'll give you $1 million, go away.
Ooh, yeah. I wouldn't do that.
No, I wouldn't do it either, I mean, assuming that he's innocent, which I think he probably is.
Right. Yeah, Drabby said he saw the some of the documents that they allegedly...
Well, again, you can file anything, you know.
Right, he said
mean,
they were a joke, though.
Claiming anything.
But they misspelled names.
No, but he said they misspelled stuff, and
they hacked
stuff backward. It just looked terrible. It looked like a fraudulent document.
They're just a bunch of hacks.
Yeah.
It sounds like the Hall of Fame, which once sent a letter to Lefty Driesell, only they sent it to Chuck at the Citadel, spelled C-I-T-A-D-A-L, and Chuck wasn't even there. He'd been fired a year earlier.
Right.
Hey, those things happen. I believe Steven Strasburg's World Series ring, his name is misspelled.
Yeah.
On the
box. That's one you'd want to get fixed, I think.
Right. No, it's not on the ring. It's on the box.
Oh, got you.
John,
box. Well, that's not that big a deal. On the ring would be a big deal.
Correct.
The name is going to change. There's nothing Dan can do. The money has spoken.
Right.
What do you think it will be? And then the thing we were kind of debating is, will they cling to the colors? I think they have to.
Why wouldn't they cling to the colors?
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing offensive about burgundy and gold. Yeah. There are some people in this town who say burgundy and gold rather than say the name.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, absolutely, I keep the colors. Now, I just saw a story saying that Snyder's wants Warriors. That's not the answer. The Warriors
think?
Is not the answer. A, it's completely unoriginal. B, Marquette went away from Warriors years ago.
Right.
You know, because, it, you know.
But is it Warriors kind of generic?
Sort of thing.
Isn't that
it doesn't
a generic
specify
thing,
one indigenous group, in this case Indians. But he needs to do better than that. If he's going to do this, he needs to just abandon that kind of thing. I like the idea of calling them the Washington Supremes after the Supreme Court.
Oh.
A little out of the box.
Oh. That's big.
Was it UJP who was pushing for enemy?
Yes, yeah, public enemy music.
You're criticizing me?
I didn't criticize Supremes. It was the other guys groaning.
I don't want anything.
Can't distinguish the groans.
I don't want anything government-y.
No, I cannot distinguish the groans. I can distinguish the voices after all these years, but not the groans.
It was mostly an EB groan.
But I don't want any government-y thing.
John, if they name them the Supremes, they're not going to, and no one's going to think Supreme Court. They're going to think Diana Ross.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a bad thing either.
Not for my football team.
Diana Ross is pretty damn good. She might be not around to come sing the national anthem the first game.
All right, so you're out on Warriors. What about the other? Everyone's clinging to an R, which is irritating. All the names stink, by the way. I'm going to be happy with none of them.
You know what? That's a good point. I mean, I have yet to see a name, and I'll include the Supremes in that. Although somebody brought up Diplomats the other day, which was a good name for the soccer team. The problem is you shorten it, and it becomes the Dips.
Right.
And given the condition of the team on the field, I don't think you want headlines that say Dips dip again or whatever.
Because you know what's coming after Dip.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But I agree. I have not seen a name where I've gone, yeah, that's it. Including Supremes. Although I'm very happy with the Supreme Court this week, but I have not seen a name that's made me go, yeah, you know, Red Tails. No, I agree. I agree 100%. I think they need to probably hire. I'm not going to say maybe they need to hire a marketing company. Although marketing companies tend to make things worse. Mm-hmm. So. I don't know the answer. It's not an easy answer.
What's your venom towards the enemy,
come
John?
Up with one quick, because I think the league wants them to have a new name in place when the season starts, if the season starts.
John, what's your venom towards enemy? Had a musical tie-in. Welcome to the Terror Dome when
it's
you come
terrible.
Here. Shut them down on defense.
Terrible.
We don't want the word terror involved. Okay?
Probably.
Terrorism is kind of a bad thing, especially
Fight the
in
Power.
World.
There's just so many great songs.
And also, enemy, come on. You know, there are enough enemies in the world. We don't need
John,
a football team to be labeled
John,
an enemy.
John, what about just the pure sort of the legal ramifications of all this that we were talking about earlier? You know, you can't just file for a trademark and have it in 2 seconds. I mean,
no, you're right, but I think, and again, I'm not a lawyer, didn't say on Holiday Inn Express last night, but I think you can use a name while you're applying for the trademark unless somebody goes to court and gets an injunction to stop you from doing it.
He wants to do more than use. He wants to sell hats, jerseys, right?
Yeah. That he does. And by the way, the Post story was interesting this morning because apparently Snyder or any owner doesn't get all that much of licensing because they have to divide it with all the other owners.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought this would be a huge boon for Snyder with the new name and licensing. It won't be as big a boon as I thought it would be. Although here's the difference. If you go online, let's say, and buy the new, you know, something with a new logo on it, it's divided 32 ways. If you go into one of Snyder's stores, he gets all the money. So stay out of Snyder's stores.
I don't even think many of those exist anymore.
Yeah, I mean, how many of those are around?
At FedEx Field.
Have they gone away?
Yeah.
Well, FedEx Field, but they used to be in malls, and they're not there anymore.
Yeah, I remember there used to be one in Montgomery Mall. Is it not there anymore?
Well, is Montgomery Mall even there?
Montgomery Mall
is
still there.
Montgomery Mall is there, yes. Although it doesn't have a bookstore. How about that? You know, you talk about times changing.
Montgomery Mall is...
Every mall in this area had at least 2 bookstores. Now you got to search for one.
And Montgomery Mall is now just Apple. It's where you go for your Apple stuff, and then that's it.
Yeah, and the you know me and food. The food court's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
The dining terrace, John, it's been relabeled. It's not a food court. It's a dining terrace.
They do it. They did upgrade.
Oh, I had no idea they were
doing that. And that's because if you go to the movie theater upstairs, it's $17 a ticket.
That's correct.
But you can get liquor in there, so it's kind of cool.
Liquor's good anywhere. Like I said, golf, liquor, golf.
Have one tonight.
Thank
about
you,
the
John.
Jones when you have one.
Have a great weekend, guys. I'll talk to you next week.
You too,
thank
John.
You.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Best-selling author John Feinstein on The Fan. Coming up next, we open up the entertainment page. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back. Chunky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Ross Tucker, NFL insider for Radio.com, will join us coming up in 15 minutes. Luke Thomas on UFC 251, which is going down on Fight Island in Abu Dhabi, is going to join us at 9:20. Jason will ask him for the winners from every fight on the card.
That's right.
What was it, though? He was like 9-3 or 8-4 the last time he gave you picks, right?
He was. Hold on. It was. He gave me 16 picks. I believe he was 12-4.
12-4.
That's impressive.
Wow. Now, when he gives you all those picks, there's odds and everything, right?
Yeah, so I mean, a lot of them were higher. Winner? A lot of them were higher odds. Yeah. So they were big favorites, but you know, they still won.
So
yeah,
you were still net up.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely net up. Yeah.
Right, I think the big fight is Kamaru Usman against Jorge Masvidal, and Masvidal is a big underdog, so if he went with Usman, maybe you don't win a ton. I think he's just naturally bigger, big wrestler. So
I'd have to go
we'll see if he says
numbers.
Bet with the dog or go with the favorite. So we'll talk to him coming
gotta
up at
9:20. I got to make up for the losses on yesterday's golf matchups, which weren't great for me yesterday. I took a lot of underdogs yesterday, you know, plus 150s and above. So
right.
I was just trying to take a chance. By the way, I just sent a picture to Drabby. My dog is so weird. I just fed her. I usually feed her around 8. She likes to – so I guess most dogs – I don't know about your dog, Valdez and Drab, but most dogs probably just stand over their bowl and eat. Well, my dog takes a bunch of food in her mouth. And then she goes, or she walks about 15 feet over to the carpet, and she spits it all out on the carpet, and then she eats it off the carpet.
I'm sure that carpet smells great.
I mean, what
is
that
all about? That's weird.
I have
that
no
is
idea.
Weird.
That's bizarre.
Have you ever heard of a dog doing that?
Not, very strange.
Not well, but remember, we did learn that you buy her the cheap dog food, so she's spitting out that cheap dog food.
It's not necessarily cheap. I mean, it's not Blue Wilderness, but it's probably average.
What is
anyway,
Blue Wilderness?
I don't know. It's one of these
higher-end dog
food. Oh, okay.
But, I mean, the dog takes a bunch of food in her mouth. She walks over. She spits it out. And then she eats it.
Off the carpet?
Off the carpet. It just tilts me.
Yeah. That's Arctic.
There's crumbs everywhere. So dirty.
Dog's likes eating the carpet thread, I guess.
All right, let me tell you what's going on in the world of Hollywood and entertainment. Can I please?
Yeah, you're sponsored, EB, by our friends at Wave Soda.
Do you have it?
I do.
All right.
Wave Soda's awesome. It's super simple. We all know that. Just bubbly water with a splash of real juice and a little caffeine. It's unsweetened, so no stevia or artificial sweeteners. Just a clean finish. Only 2 to 6 grams of sugar and 15 to 25 calories per can. Enter that code JUNKIES. You get 15% off at wavesoda.com.
I'm enjoying the Blackberry this morning.
So one of the big stories, this is just kind of like newsworthy, but it's kind of entertainment related in a sense, is the TikTok app. That I guess the administration is threatening. I don't know. When was the last time that they've banned? You know, it typically doesn't happen here in the United States where they just like ban a website.
Right. Yeah.
But because of all of the tracking allegedly involved with this.
From China?
China. I mean, China's got everything on my information. They must have
correct.
Every single thing I have.
My daughter's distraught if TikTok goes away.
Oh, please take it away.
And yesterday she was nervous because she said, my TikToks, they're not getting any likes. I think it's... She thought that was the beginning of the end.
Right.
She was really starting to worry because there was something was going on.
Yeah.
But then it started to work. She's apparently some of the kids were passing around some alternatives. And I told her, listen, say what you want about TikTok. I think it's stupid. But it has really entertained these younger kids during the quarantine for the first few months.
They
had.
They love it.
And I actually appreciated it. And, it was something that kept them going. So I feel for her. I said there will be an alternative that'll pop up that'll do the exact same thing.
It'll be Rick Rock.
I think she was using one called Like. I'm not sure. But she says not the same. So who knows? I think the kids feel like it could disappear at any moment.
I really hope it does.
But like I say, Jason, they'll just come up with an alternative.
Yeah, there'll be a replacement.
Right, well, then hopefully
that'll
go away.
Something will fill the void.
So somebody was saying that Instagram will just kind of employ some of the same things and it will just be another way to get more users onto Instagram. And of course, my daughter asked if she could, and I said, no, you're, what is she, 11? I said, we're not doing Instagram yet at 11. We're just not. I don't know why I draw the line there, but I just.
TikTok okay, Instagram not okay.
Yeah, weird. Maybe
you
it's
don't want
weird.
People sliding into her DMs.
I guess.
I suppose
sure.
they can in TikTok.
Don't forget Cakes Flops on your Instagram.
Right.
What's the most recent three posts, Cakes? Like, what are you putting up on Instagram for people
you
to check out?
Usually probably just post poker chips.
Hold on. I would have to go check.
Whatever stack he's put together over at MGM.
I'm guessing he doesn't really keep it up to date.
Let's see.
You don't have to keep it up too much up to date.
What have I posted of late that JP's going to goof on?
All right, hold on. Let me go to your
Let's
Instagram.
See. Oh, my trip to MGM when I went and rescouted the property upon the reopen. A pickleball racket.
Okay.
And the
interesting.
The Iron Maiden albums that Chad Duke sent me.
What are the dates on those posts?
Why are you joning? Yeah,
I'm just wondering.
June 29th, June 11th, and May 25th.
Right.
Okay. So if you follow Cakes about once a month, you're
let me go to my let me go to my Instagram.
Yeah, go
post.
To yours.
I know it's fine. I'm just saying he's trying to like heavily promote something that he barely uses.
I know I need to post more, JP. It's something I'm working on.
Right. Look, you're never going to get a big following if you're a guy unless you're like super famous. You're just not. You have to be a hot chick. That's what I've deduced.
Right. I have to be a female golfer with large cans.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, like
instant
wearing,
follow.
And right. and 20 pairs of Lululemon stretch pants in my closet, which I don't have any of those things.
Right. So it is what it is. Right. I actually tried. It's the first time I ever tried. I tried like a week ago to get my Instagram verified because for some reason my kids were asking me if I was verified on Instagram, and that to them it means you're a big deal. Uh-huh. And I said, "Let me check." And I'm like, "No, I'm not." I said, "I'm verified on Twitter," and they went, "Oh," but they're more impressed if you're verified on Instagram. So I filled out the form. I figured this would be a no-brainer. 24 hours later, denied.
Oh, really?
And I don't quite understand why.
Is that
why.
Because you don't have enough followers? How's that work?
No, I don't think it has to do with that. Maybe I'm violating something by putting a link to my podcast in the bio, possibly. They say you could reapply in 30 days. I'm obviously doing something wrong.
I started applying for the blue check mark on Twitter. Here's when I applied for it. When Jared Ruderman was still working in our building.
Right.
Whenever that was.
Probably and 4 years ago.
It never came through, and I just bailed on it.
You bailed on it.
Unverified Cakes on Twitter.
I mean, it really doesn't mean anything, but
I,
in my kids' eyes, I would get a little bit of street cred.
Right.
So I'm going to still try to work on the IG blue check
to
see if I can get that.
Get it.
I think where I failed is I put like my home, my AOL address. I should have put like Entercom.
Yeah,
you
need a work.
I just put my home email, and that was not. It's like putting a Gmail. You know, that's like stupid. So I think I botched that.
They probably saw AOL and said he's too old for Instagram.
Yeah. Automatically excluded.
Yeah. I think I botched. I think that was my biggest botch, but, you know, I'm not sure. It's so silly. All right. What else is out there? Oh, we'll do the Shia LaBeouf story. So Shia LaBeouf, apparently, people still love him as an actor. He's only 34 years old.
So wait a second.
I don't think that many people.
Who still loves Shia LaBeouf?
He gets a ton of acting roles. Are you kidding?
Okay, he gets roles, but he's not some sort of beloved figure.
He's made a ton of dough. Look at how much money he's made
in his
career.
In the Transformers movies.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, he likes to get drunk in public.
Shia LaBeouf is a big star. He just is.
Oh,
I think he's
a
weirdo.
You're not that plugged into movies.
He's still a big star. He was a big star 10 years ago.
What's his best movie?
He's got a new movie coming out called The Tax Collector.
All right.
And, you know, this is how hardcore
I don't like
is.
It already.
That sounds exciting.
Right? Who wants to see that?
Yeah.
He got his entire chest legitimately tattooed for the movie.
The accountant greater than tax collector. The
accountant was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
You could see he's actually gained some LBs since he got the chest tattoos because they have images of when he was getting tattooed. And you can see he looks pretty skinny and it was probably when he was filming the movie. And now he's been seen kind of walking around, and they could tell, wait a second, that wasn't a fake tattoo. He actually got a real tattoo on his chest for the movie, and they're like, how many guys have actually done that? You know who looks gross when he takes his shirt off sometimes? You'll see him, like, at the beach? Ben Affleck.
Oh, when really?
Ben Affleck has horrific tattoos, like, on his back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He looks terrible.
By the way, does he have, like, a Deshaun Stevenson-esque, like, takes up his whole shoulder blades type tattoo?
Who?
Ben
Affleck. Like, his whole back?
Yeah.
His whole
back.
By
the way, this is what
Shia LaBeouf did with his whole chest.
The Tax Collector looks like the worst movie of all time.
I now know why EB likes Shia LaBeouf so much.
Oh, why?
Well, no, because he was on Project Greenlight?
Well, I know that, but yeah. He actually played John McEnroe in the Borg versus McEnroe movie, which nobody saw.
I never saw
Who
that.
Who knew he was even in that movie?
Of course.
Who knew that was even a
but
movie?
But E.B. loves John McEnroe.
I do, but I'm
actually
saw
looking
that movie.
At his filmography. I'm struggling to find any movies that I've seen him in.
All right, you just look at how much money he's made.
Okay, but I mean,
he's a mega star.
If he's done enough movies,
a mega star?
He's not a mega star.
I disagree.
When he did the Transformers movies, he was a mega star. The last 5 years, he's not a mega star.
No, he's fallen off.
Well, those last two movies he put out last year came out to rave reviews.
Which ones?
I think one of
them. The Peanut Butter Falcon?
Yeah, why don't you check out the Rotten Tomatoes on
it
that?
It might have had great reviews.
If it was so
nobody
good, you'd
saw
see
it.
It.
Well, I know, because it was a small indie film.
Honey Boy?
Honey Boy, silly movie about his life growing up. He plays his dad.
No interest. Let's see what else. American Honey? He does all movies about honey.
I must admit, I did like, I thought Eagle Eye was pretty good, but when did that come out?
I'm just saying.
This is why he likes. This is why Drab likes him. He was in Nymphomaniac.
Nah.
Eagle Eye came out in 2008, Cakes. And, you know, he did Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps, which, again, 10 years
Indiana
ago.
Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull.
12 years ago.
Universally panned.
Fury's a silly. Disturbia is a classic.
Yeah, Disturbia silly.
He's had a monster career. There's no denying it.
All right, if you say so.
I mean, look, it is what it is. Robert De Niro is actually in the news, and he's got some big divorce case or something. And his ex-wife or current wife, I don't know what their status is. She's trying to get more dough. She's trying to get her American Express card limit raised monthly from 50K to 100K, Cakes.
Oh, that's a lot.
But De Niro, here's the headline, Cakes, or the first sentence. Robert De Niro says he's running out of dinero.
Apparently, I like that.
How is that possible?
The corona is killing everybody, including De Niro. They say he'll be lucky to make $7.5 million this year.
He's, oh my God!
Well, if Robert De Niro is running out of money.
No,
what are the Zoom guys in this group running out of?
So Eric glanced at the story. It's $7.5 million is the threshold to have his ex-wife's American Express bill be $100,000.
And he said they'll be lucky to make $7.5 million.
No, yeah, and so De Niro owns stake in Nobu and a hotel, and
he lost $3 million with Nobu in April.
And so he's saying, since he's not able to make that threshold, that her monthly allowance is finished, and they're going to slice it in half.
Right, he's got to cut corners.
Exactly.
Well, it's affecting everybody.
You know what? Welcome to 2020.
It's not only affecting the junks, it's even affecting Robert De Niro. Okay?
His career earnings are a little bit greater than the junkies, though.
What are his career earnings?
$500 million.
What?
Is that what they're saying?
Dude, he's cranked out so many movies.
Now that's a megastar. Yes. Robert De Niro is a megastar.
I was going to say.
Shia LaBeouf, not a megastar.
If LaBeouf's a megastar, what's De Niro?
For his day and age, LaBeouf is.
No, he's never been on the level of a Robert De Niro running out of De Niro.
No one would agree.
He's never
with
been
that.
On that level, ever.
Right, I'm just saying he was a big star.
Right, you guys, let me know when Robert De Niro is acting opposite Optimus Prime, a big giant transforming robot.
Well,
De Niro's
De Niro's done some terrible movies.
Okay, he's done some money grabs later in his career. Okay, no doubt about that. But his career is bizarre compared to LaBeouf's.
Of course. All right, coming up next, Ross Tucker, former Redskins lineman, now an NFL insider on Radio.com, will join us as we go around the NFL next on The Junkies.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Happy to welcome in on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline our friend Ross Tucker, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider. Insider calls are brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Podference podcast series, available on radio.com/Dell. What's up, Ross? Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, fellas. How are you guys doing?
We are doing
all right.
Well.
A lot
not
of news.
Doing, not doing great.
Well,
I'll tell you that.
We're alive.
I mean, I'm alive. My family's healthy. That's good, but I'm not doing great.
You know what? It's so true. I'm not doing great. I'm lying. I'm not doing great at all. I mean, I'm happy to talk with you guys, but if we're being honest, like this is about, I think I said this on my podcast Wednesday, I'm 41. This has got to be the worst I've ever felt about the
life.
Way things are. Like, yeah. You know, like my family's healthy. My family's happy. That's all that matters. But with everything going on with the social injustice and race relations and divisiveness and all that stuff and everything going on with the coronavirus, this is about as disappointed, I guess, is probably the word I'd use in our country in my 41 years. So I am doing fine. I am doing good. I would like to retract my earlier great statement.
Yes, thank you. Just be honest with us, because I'd be honest with you, but it's a dismal day is what it is. It's a very dismal day.
What would make it better short of just everything being back to normal? What would be the next best thing? I think
if
having the NFL.
Could just assure me. Well, look, if someone could assure me that there will at least be the NFL season,
right?
I think I'd feel a lot better about things. Like I do college football games for CBS Sports Network, and yep. I'm hopeful, but I don't have a lot of hope. I mean, I think it's hard to make the argument of it being an acceptable risk for college student athletes. And, you know, where my league, the Ivy League, has already postponed it at least till the spring, maybe canceled it, makes it really hard for, like, the Big Ten, ADs, commissioners, all these big conferences. I mean, what are they going to say when someone says to them, well, hey, the Ivy League canceled the season because they care about the welfare and health of their student-athletes. Why didn't you guys? I mean, how do you answer that?
That's a tough,
and
yeah,
the answer is... The answer is it's because they want the money, and I get it. And it's not like they're being greedy. I mean, they want the money so they can have these other sports, these towns. I live in central Pennsylvania. I mean, State College, they make all their profit, all their margin by making people do two nights and $600 a night for the hotels and stuff. I mean, it's not just the college athletic departments. But the good news is we're going to at least try with the NFL. And really, I think the NFL is heavily reliant and dependent at this point now on baseball, hockey, and the NBA. Mm-hmm. I mean, if all three of those get rolling and it's going well and maybe there's a guy or two that gets it, but they can keep playing the games, I think we're in good shape. If there's a widespread infection on a couple teams and they shut those leagues down, I don't know if the NFL even gets started.
Right.
Well, let me ask you, let me go even further on college football. So let's just say the Big Ten says, all right, so now they're doing conference games only, which doesn't make sense to me. I mean, what's the difference between playing 9 games and 12? But that's another debate. Let's just say they cancel the season and Penn State has to cut 25 scholarships. What happens to those kids? Where are they going to go?
Well, and that's the thing. They're not cutting the 85 football scholarships. I can assure you.
I'm not saying 85, but they might have to cut 20 of the 85.
No. They're not cutting any of the football scholarships.
They'll cut the field hockey team or they'll cut the swimming team.
The other sports that don't make any money. I mean, Stanford just cut 11 sports. Dartmouth just cut 5. They're not going to cut the revenue-generating sports because football pays for everything. So they're not cutting football scholarships because, you know, Penn State will go in there and say, what, you're going to cut our scholarships. We're the ones that make all the money, and you're going to make it so we lose more games so that we don't make as much money? That makes no sense. They're going to cut, you know, women's fencing and men's crew, and they're going to cut the sports that they lose money on because that's what they do.
I'm just saying it could. It's possible that some of these schools, maybe not the Penn States of the world, but some of these schools that don't have the money.
Well, maybe like a Marist where it's not a big deal.
Well, my point is those kids suffer. I mean,
well, they'll get
they'll
have to transfer, but they'll get the finish. Most of these schools always honor it anyway. They just don't continue the sport, you know.
I don't think they're going to honor.
But and to your point, whether it's the football players or other sports, I mean, people would be losing, you know, their scholarships and/or losing their ability to play the sport. I do think you're right that they'll honor the scholarships, but
they do.
You know, those kids went to those schools to play those sports. I mean,
absolutely.
I feel awful. I mean, Stanford, 240 kids. Stanford,
yeah.
like men's volleyball. I think they're like the national champs every year, and they just canceled men's volleyball at Stanford.
No, it's insane. Yeah. It's insane, but we understand. The thing that's really insane is when you look up Stanford's endowment. It's like in the billions, and they still couldn't figure out a way to make that work.
$27 billion, I believe.
That's insane to me.
Why can't they use some of that money?
That's the thing, though. They could make it work.
Yeah.
That's the thing that bothers me a little bit, is they are making a conscious decision that those sports are not worth what they pay for them. And I would vehemently disagree.
Yeah.
You know, I went to Princeton, and their whole message of their athletic department is education through athletics. And I got to tell you, I learned a lot more on the football field, especially considering we never had a winning season in my 4 years. Not that I'm bitter or anything. I learned a lot more on the field and dealing with people and dealing with adversity than I did in the classroom. I don't really remember anything I learned there. I mean, what do I do for a living? I talk to you guys about football, right? I was a politics major at Princeton. But point is, I remember a lot when we were losing 28-0 to Colgate and there's 2 minutes left in the game, and I decided, you know what? I'm going to try to kill as many Colgate dudes as I can for the rest of the game. You know, like I could have just said this thing. I went out and just started laying guys out because that's the tone I wanted to set for my life. I just feel like you learn a lot more through athletics than you do academics. And Stanford could choose to have part of the endowment pay for those sports easily. Right. What they're saying is they're looking at the athletic department as a business, which is funny because the Ivy League doesn't do that, because the Ivy League has 38, 40 sports, and none of them, football loses money in the Ivy League. They just say, okay, this is part of the process, part of the experience that we won here, and it's worth the expenditure for the university. Stanford's saying, well, we can't afford it. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. You're making a decision to not.
Right, they're choosing not to.
Yeah.
Where do you stand on the Redskins and the name change thing? I think there's nothing you could do. The money is spoken. The name's going to be changed. You're a former Redskin. Do you have any preference on potential names? Where do you stand on potentially changing the colors? I think most Redskins fans, at least the majority of Redskins fans, want to at least still have burgundy and gold. Where do you stand on all that?
Yeah, so first, in terms of the name change to begin with, mixed emotions.
Yeah.
You know, I personally don't really care, right? I mean, I grew up outside of Philly. I'm really glad that I played for the Redskins. I started my career there. I actually finished my career there, which is kind of unique. Loved my experience there. But I don't really care. And in terms of the name, the only people whose opinion I really care about are Native Americans. I mean, they're the ones that the name is offensive to a certain percentage of them. I've always wanted this, though, guys, and I've never really gotten it. I would love to know. Let's talk to as many Native Americans as possible, and I'd love to get a breakdown of how many of them say it's a source of pride, how many of them say it's offensive, and how many of them don't really care either way. I mean, I've seen a couple polls, but I'm sure you guys have too, but when I played there, first of all, I met multiple Native Americans that were Redskins fans in person that said that they liked the name, that it was a source of pride for them. And I've had people call into my show and say that. Obviously, there are a lot that feel otherwise. So I would just love to see what the breakdown is. It doesn't really matter at this point. They're going to change it, whatever. And I think that's probably the right decision. But now, I don't know if you guys saw or talked about it, but a bunch of the Native American organizations wrote to the NFL. They don't want any Native American names or imagery at all. They want the Chiefs to change their name.
Oh, of course.
And they want that. So it might not end up being just the Redskins, which, by the way, I guess eliminates what I wanted for the name. I had posted this on my social media, at Ross Tucker NFL. I think it's the background picture on my Twitter and Facebook but it's from the Osaka, Japan game in 2002. And we wore the 70th anniversary uniforms where we looked like Florida State. You know, he had like the spear on the side of the helmet.
Oh, yeah, that's
and
out.
Our pants were like, we had these gold pants that were so awesome. So my recommendation was the Washington Warriors, but I guess that could still be construed as Native American imagery. I don't know. What do they say? Red wolves, red tail. What are the other ones that you guys are hearing?
Warriors seems to be the leader.
Warriors the leader in the clubhouse.
Warriors the leader, but they don't know if they can do it without getting away from the Native American sort of connotation there. So even though that's not the primary.
Warriors, and I love that. I'm telling you guys, check out the my Twitter picture or whatever, because I'm running out of the tunnel with John Jansen, running on the field.
Yeah, I see.
And those uniforms are so sweet.
They just
Washington Warriors. Yeah, Washington Warriors sounds great. The deal is, though, if you're going to change it, then I guess you can't have, like, the spear on the side of the helmet, which I guess defeats the purpose.
You could have a W or something, some weird W, but that's it.
Running out with our guy Thumbs.
Because did he have two broken thumbs at one point? I can't even remember.
And he had a backwards foot. I remember that.
Oh, that was gross.
Oh, when he snapped it.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember it.
Is Ross still there? I feel like we lost him.
Yeah, I'm just listening to you guys talk. Are you talking about Jansen?
Yeah.
He did always have messed up thumbs. He also, you're right. I remember when he was, like, walking around the facility with his leg on, like, a push cart because he had messed it up so bad.
Right.
Ross, always appreciate having you on. We got to run. It's Ross Tucker, Raider.com, Sports NFL Insider. Insider calls brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Podference podcast series. It's available on Raider.com/Dell. Thanks, pal.
Absolutely. See you guys. Shout out to my nephew, Tucker, who's listening in Potomac. See you guys.
Very cool. Yep. Thank
What's
you, buddy.
Up, Tucker. Ross Tucker has a nephew named Tucker.
Can't be Tucker. There's no way.
No.
Impossible.
Just named after Ross.
All right, got to take a break. We're the Junkies. Be right back.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.